Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 189 in the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on December the 6th, 2019. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined as always by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Pete. What's going on?
Not much, you? Well,
I'm ready to talk about some really cool stuff today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
Oh, man. I'm like in awe.
Of?
Rise of the Resistance.
That good, huh?
Like, I'm still flying high from it. So we, you know, we put out an episode this week already, but when I rode Rise of the Resistance, I texted Pete and I was like, we have to do a show tomorrow. So it's going to be...
I like hearing that.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a different show. We're saving the news because, you know, if we do the news, like, if we do a little bit of news this week, we're going to have, like, no news for next week when we do, like, a regular show on, like, Monday or Tuesday. So...
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to... forgo the news this week, but I do want to take a minute to shout out the man who, you know, brings us the news every week. That'd be Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who's going to plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost. You know, guy's planned over 2,000 Disney trips, so he knows what he's doing.
That's a veteran.
That is a veteran. That is a veteran of Disney magic. So...
Hey, how about, you know, so as we're recording this, Walt Disney's birthday was yesterday. Pretty amazing. Right. I mean, it's just hard to think that.
Oh, was it really?
Know, yes. 118 years later. I mean, could Disney be any bigger than they are?
I would assume that this is bigger than Walt ever could have, like, because I don't think Walt ever would have, like, imagined that they would be absorbing all these other companies, you know?
Right. Right.
Assimilating Marvel and Star Wars and all this other great stuff. So, like, yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. You know, it's, you know, Walt became a household name, but I mean, this is more than, you know, celebrity status.
Yeah. And, you know, the, I feel like the company gets a lot of flack from the haters. Like, I hear all the time people like calling it the empire and like saying that, like, oh, you know, they're going to absorb all these companies and monopolies and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it just, I don't see a problem with bringing everything under an umbrella that ensures quality content.
No, not if they take care of the product.
Well, yeah, like, I'm a fan of the way they do it. Like, with Marvel, they didn't, like, Disney-ize Marvel. They were like, okay, hey, Marvel people handle Marvel. You know,
right.
Lucasfilm people handle Star Wars. Which, you know, can be, like, people blame Disney a lot for, like, things that they don't like with Star Wars. But the same, you know, the Lucasfilm people are the ones that are making those decisions.
Right. Yeah. Disney isn't exactly the problem there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they put a lot of, like, you know, it doesn't seem like they take a heavy handed approach with this kind of stuff.
Right. Agreed.
So, but, you know, one thing that obviously Disney had a lot of input in is Star Wars attractions in the theme parks, of which we just got the granddaddy of them all. So I'm going to give a little warning here. We're going to do spoilers for this ride. Like, so if you want to go in blind, which is what I did, then, this is not the episode for you. I'm sorry. Ride it and then listen to this episode and tell me if you agree with me. But, if you don't care, like, if your trip's not for a while or you just want to get really hyped and know things about it, or you're one of those people that watched the ride through videos out there already, then, yeah, come on, join us for this discussion.
Or if you're like me and you need to know the content for, you know, fear level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's get into this after these brief words from our sponsors. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer, folks. Take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and Dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, With immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hello, humans! My name is Morty Monster, and I'm... I'm a monster. I'm here as an exchange student from the monster world, where growing up I fell in love with the world of human pop culture. Unfortunately, not a lot of monsters share that passion, so I came here to experience all of these things that I love and to share that passion with all of you. I do this through my YouTube channel with regular video blogs. One of my favorite things to do is film while in the theme parks of Orlando, Florida. Join me in Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, and more. I'll also be reviewing comic books, web videos, TV shows, movies, and other awesome stuff. Find me on Facebook at facebook.com/MortyMonster. I'm on Instagram as MortyMonster and Friends. I'm also on Twitter as MortyMonsterBFF. From there, you can find a link to my YouTube videos. Please like, subscribe, love, sign up for notifications and more for all the Morty content. I can't wait to share my adventures with all of you, Morty Monster! Folks, a few months ago, we were brought information on Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, a dream come true for Star Wars fans like us the world over. But when Galaxy's Edge was opened, it was not complete. A vital component was missing, and until yesterday, I did not realize just how vital a component that was. It was the opening of Rise of the Resistance, the e-ticket attraction for Galaxy's Edge. Yesterday, Rise of the Resistance opened in Walt Disney World, and I had the opportunity to try it out, and just... wow. Just wow is all I can say. There's a lot to cover about this game-changing attraction, so I'm going to jump right into our e-ticket attraction of the week, where we're talking about Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. So, Pete, when I say that this is a game-changer, I mean it is a total and utter game-changer.
I mean, we all had hoped it would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not an unexpected response by you. This is the what we all hoped.
Well, and listen, when Galaxy's Edge opened, we were all blown away by how immersive it was and how it brought you into the Star Wars universe. And I love Smuggler's Run. I really enjoy it. I thought it was really fun. It was iconic. I mean, had it been anything other than piloting the Millennium Falcon, I think I would have been like, if you were piloting some random cargo ship, I think I wouldn't have liked it. Because at the end [S2] Right. [S1] Of the day, the main attraction for this immersive land was essentially a video game. You know, like it was essentially a flight simulator video game, and I don't mean to rip on Smuggler's Run because I do like it a lot, but your ability to enjoy Smuggler's Run is entirely dependent on other people.
Yeah, that's not a great part.
Yeah, like if I'm on Splash Mountain with people who don't know anything about Splash Mountain, I'm still going to be able to enjoy Splash Mountain.
Right.
I overheard somebody saying the other day, or yesterday, when I was there, that their one and only Smuggler's Run experience was 2 4-year-olds were the pilots. And the parents were the gunners, and instead of shooting anything, the parents were just taking video and pictures of their kids, which I get.
Yeah, me too.
The kids were crashing into everything, and they felt sick, and if that was my one and only Smuggler's Run experience, I'd be so upset.
I get it.
I know you can't be little kids can't pilot, but... Like,
if you're crashing into everything, it like can really like impact people who suffer from motion sickness.
Right.
So yeah, I don't like putting.
Although motion sickness, I mean, not the best ride for you to be on in the first place. But
probably.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know. So I feel like it's a great attraction, but it definitely was never meant to be the centerpiece of this land. Like I think we all kind of, I think a lot of people assumed it was, because nobody really knew what Rise of the Resistance was.
Right.
Like all that we knew was that. You know, we had an attraction that was about the Resistance of the First Order, and we had one where you piloted the Millennium Falcon. So I think a lot of people were like, oh, well, the Millennium Falcon one, that's the one that everyone's going to love.
Which is not necessarily the case now.
Yeah, then there was this. So I want to jump into, like, how Disney worked this opening, because I loved how they did this, and I was very impressed.
Okay, I want to hear about it.
All right, so the park was supposed to open at 8 a.m. So I figured, and like, you know, I had forgotten about this until the day before because I'd been traveling and then I came home and I was sick. So like, I wasn't thinking about this. And then like on the 4th, I was like, whoa, Rise of the Resistance opens tomorrow. And so I called you, I texted you in a panic. I'm like, Pete, I need a game plan. Like if I get there at 6, it should be okay, right? I reached out to my cousin who works for the company. And he's just like, yeah, 2 hours before opening. And you said the same thing. 2 hours before opening. It's not like the opening of the land. You know, you're not going to, you know. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll do that. So I got there at 6. Pete, the park was open.
That's insane. Like, there's no line because everyone's in already.
I got there and I'm like, oh, my gosh. There's no line at security. There's no line at the gate. This is amazing. How am I such an amazing Disney expert? And then I got up there and I'm like, oh, people are walking through the touch points. There's a lot of people in the park. People were getting there at like 4 a.m. This is what happened when they opened the land. It wasn't supposed to open until 6, but they opened it at like 4 or 5, I think.
Now, do we know what time it actually opened yesterday?
No, I just know at 6 o'clock it was open.
Okay.
So I walked in and I'm like, oh man, I am going to be sitting online for hours and hours and hours. So thankfully I had my Nintendo Switch in my backpack. I had books on my, my Kindle. I was ready to go. So
you were prepared to write a whole nother book.
Yes.
While waiting online.
Yeah, no, I could have. So I walked in and they handed me, they're like, oh, welcome. Here's a piece of paper. And like, I take it and I looked at it. And it was a virtual queue instruction sheet.
Okay.
Now, this is a game changer that I hope Disney rolls out for all major attractions because it worked out so well. So you can't reserve a spot in the virtual queue until you're in the park. So you have to, once your Magic Band is scanned at the touch points, you're able to do it. Now, I tried to do it right away, and it was telling me I wasn't in the park. And
okay.
So the cast member was like, no, just keep going down Hollywood Boulevard. By the time you're down, like, it takes a minute. So by the time you're down Hollywood Boulevard, you'll be able to do it. So I'm skeptical at this point, and I'm like nervous and anxious because I'm like, what if I can't get into the virtual queue with every second that I don't, other people are doing it. So I get down Hollywood Boulevard. I get like 3/4 of the way down Hollywood Boulevard before my anxiety takes over. And I'm just like, okay. And they was like, okay, hey, you're here. Here's your boarding group. I was boarding group. Now, mind you, this is 6 a.m. Boarding group 38.
Now, how many are in a boarding group?
I have no idea. That's not information that they share. But I knew I was 38 and they were on like 1 through 10. Or okay. They were on like 10 through 15 at the time, actually, I think, or something like that. So essentially when your boarding group is called, it sends you a push notification to your phone. And it's like, hey, your boarding group is called. You have 2 hours to get to the ride. Like you have an open window.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So it's like it was essentially a fast pass, but you don't know when it's going to hit.
If you were having a meal or something, it's not like you got to get up and walk out. Like,
correct.
You like have time. I like that.
Or if I was in line for something else, like I could have just, yeah, I had two. I had a, so I walked in and I was just like, I had Morty. And so we decided that we were going to just explore the park for a while, take our time. Because I figured boarding group 38, it's going to take at least 2 hours. It took a lot longer. So the first thing we did was go to Star Tours because, hey, that's the theme of the day, right?
Right.
So we go into Star Tours and there's like nobody in there. And like I took a second to like take a picture in the line because there was nobody behind me. And as I look in front of me, I see like everybody that was in front of me going into one of the theaters and the doors closed. I'm like, oh, okay. So I get into the line in the one and there's nobody else there. And I'm like, is this about to happen? Am I about to charter a private star speeder on Star Tours? Yes. I rode it completely alone.
Okay, now, where did you sit?
Front row center.
Huh. I wonder if I would sit in the front row or try and sit dead middle.
Yeah, you know, I probably should have sat dead middle, but, like, I don't know. I really thought it was cool, like, to sit, like, I like the front row of Star Tours.
Were you the spy?
No, even on a time where what? I am the only one on there. Well, no, because I was not the only one on there. Morty Monster was the rebel spy.
Really?
Yes, he was. He was.
That's pretty cool.
He was in the seat next to me, and he was the rebel spy.
You just can't get that rebel spy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten it before. I've been the rebel spy twice, and now Morty's been the rebel spy twice. So,
all right.
In a way, Peter Mandel, it feels like I've been the rebel spy all the times that Morty Monster was. But, you know, just because him and I are so close.
Right, I get what you're saying there.
So, it was Jakku and Krayt. So it was all sequel trilogy worlds. But I liked that it was Krayt because it brought me to Batuu at the end.
Yeah.
So we go in, and I see there's just like a mob of people in front of Rise of the Resistance. I'm like, all right. So, and there's also cast members forming a human wall. Like, you couldn't even get into the Resistance camp, like, by where, like, the shop and stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
They were blocking everybody off. You were to move further in to go into, like, where the marketplace was. So we go in. We walk around a little bit. I see Smuggler's Run as, like, a 40-minute wait. And I'm not really feeling Smuggler's Run on this morning. So I'm like, oh, all right, I'll go do other things. Walk by the cantina. And the so now, mind you, it's 7 a.m., so I'm like, there's no way the cantina's open. The cantina cast members saw Morty Monster and, like swarmed him. And, like, were, like, talking to him and talking to me. And I was like, oh, are you guys open? And they're like, yeah, come on in. And, it like, so we got in the cantina. And there were, don't get me wrong, there were people in there. But, like,
right.
It was manageable. Like, it wasn't shoulder-to-shoulder people like it usually is. Where, like, they seat you at, like,
okay.
Or, like, they put you at, like, a corner of, like, a standing table. I was at the bar. I got to watch the, like, the entire, all, like, the systems all shut down. Like, the music stopped and Rex powered down and, like, they had to, like, fix it. Like, the bartenders had to, like, fix him and, like do stuff
okay.
Behind the bar to, like, power everything back up. It was really cool.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, so Morty had the Carbon Freeze, which is a non-alcoholic beverage because he's 12.
Right.
It was lemon lime Powerade with like some kind of strawberry infusion with these green apple boba balls, and it was so it was given in a frozen glass that was now, I mean the glass was actually frozen, it didn't have like Elsa on it.
Right.
And it was like fizzy and smoking. It was like smoking, like carbonate. So it was really good. He let me have some and it was really good.
Nice.
Yeah. So left
were
there.
Were the breakfast options available?
There were breakfast options available pretty much everywhere. But I didn't
okay.
I didn't see any on I tried to go to Docking Bay 7, but I don't like egg product.
Okay.
Like, you know, like fast food breakfast sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy that. Like it makes me feel sick. So they were only serving breakfast, and the eggs to me looked a little dicey. So I was like, "All right." So I went and got a Ronto wrap.
Okay.
And you know they were selling the Ronto wake up wrap and the regular Ronto wrap.
I just wonder, in the cantina, are they getting that many people in the morning? Are they selling breakfast options?
I didn't see breakfast options in the cantina.
I mean, is everyone just going in there for drinks? Like, what's the drink?
I mean, there's some, like, snacks. There's, like, snacks and stuff.
Okay.
But they weren't, like, breakfasty snacks, I don't think. To be honest, I didn't even really look at the food in the cantina because I wasn't going to get it.
Okay.
I had my heart set on a Ronto wrap at this point because I love me some Ronto.
I would like to try that next time.
Yeah, so ate the Ronto wrap and just kind of like played Nintendo Switch for a bit and just kind of listened to people. And that's when I overhear people talk about like Smuggler's Run and stuff like that. So then I get up and I'm walking toward Toy Story Land because I figure, you know what? They're only on board in group 20. So I'll film some, Morty and I could film some other videos of like Christmas stuff. And as we're leaving, I hear this guy behind me go, well, you know, the ride's down and they told us to go do other things. And I'm like, what? And I turned around. And so now not only is it down, but if they're telling people to get out of line and go do other things, it's down, Pete.
Yeah, yeah. Like really down.
Yeah, like down, down, downtown. And oh, man, like I'm like, this isn't good. This is not good at all. And I texted you in a panic. I'm like, Pete, it's down. Like, it stayed down for like over an hour, from what I understand. I've heard rumor and innuendo that people were evac'd off of it.
Okay.
Which, gosh, that would be terrible. I can't, like, after I got off of it, I was like, oh man, being evac'd off this would be the worst. Not because it's like high or anything, but just because like it just shatters this immersive illusion.
Yeah. Right.
We'll talk about that when we get into the actual attraction. But I asked the one customer, I'm like, hey, is it coming back like today? And they're like, we hope so. And I was like, oh, man, it's really broken. But like an hour and a half or so later, it was I saw the boarding group start to move. And I was like, oh, OK, thank goodness. So did Alien Swirling Saucers. Slinky Dog had a 20-minute wait, but I didn't do it for some reason.
OK.
Or no, it had a 20-minute wait when I first walked out of. I did Alien Swirling Saucers first because it had no wait, and then I was like, "Oh, I'll do Slinky Dog afterward." But then by that time, like the attraction had just gone down, so all the people that were over there have now filtered out into Toy Story Land. So now Slinky Dog's over an hour, because that was the beautiful thing. Like there were so many people there that like you can walk on to most things because. They were all kind of over by Rise of the Resistance.
Right.
The boarding groups were. So, you know, killed some more time, walked around, shot some video, went to the Muppets store. It was cold, too. Like, it was in the low 50s. So, like, I was getting, like, really cold and, had, you know, because I'm thin blood now in Florida and had to, like, pop into some shops and you know, pop into some places where there was heat on. So now, finally, at 11 a.m., 5 hours after my arrival, I get the push notification. We are boarding your group. Please arrive at Rise of the Resistance by 1:03 p.m.
Okay.
Now I'm not waiting. I'm jetting right over there at this point. I was sitting in the Muppet Courtyard playing Nintendo Switch, playing Final Fantasy VII. So once I got the okay, I was off like a shot.
Right.
Got in there. So the queue. Let's discuss the queue first.
Well, let me ask you a question. Real quick, when you get your push notification and then you go over there, how crazy of a wait then is it then?
You know, I should have timed this because you're not the only person to ask me this question. But I can't imagine it was more than 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Okay. All right.
And I'm being like super like overestimating. Like I don't think I was in that line for very long.
Okay.
But there's an outside component of the queue where, you know, it was like, you know, you could see it from outside, like when you walk. I'm sure you examined it a little bit when you were there. The outdoor right. queue for Rise of the Resistance, where like, you know, there were like cables hung and it's like the outside of a resistance base. There's a waterfall. You go into this cave, and much like the queue for Flight of Passage, it looks as though this base has been burned into this mountain.
Okay.
Like you can see on the walls, like how the excavation tools that like dug out the tunnels and stuff.
Yeah.
I did not love this queue. I thought there were going to be more interactive elements to it. I thought there were going to be like an automatronic 3PO or like, you know, like something entertaining like they have in Star Tours. There really wasn't.
Yeah, it was did you use the Play Disney Parks app?
I didn't because I was taking pictures and I was filming stuff. But I saw the barcodes for the scanning stuff all over. And I'm thinking to myself, right. Wow, I bet you there's no interactive elements because they're really banking on people using this Play Disney Parks app.
Right.
Which, I mean, it's fun. So, like, I played it once in the line for Smuggler's Run. So, one thing about this queue, there are places to sit down.
Huh.
Like, against the wall, like, there's, like, stone that, like, it looks like a bench, almost.
I always felt that they should line the lines with, like, benches. Not so much for me, but, like, my kids are always like, oh, I want to sit down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it would make sense, but it would also cause line chaos, so yes. I understand.
Well, yeah, there's definitely places to sit down in this queue. But, you know, there's also, like, there's things like Finn's Bacta suit from The Last Jedi, the suit that he wakes up in where they play his horrendous injury, right. His horrendous dramatic injury from the last one as a gag.
Right.
There's rogue, you know, like Rogue Squadron flight suits and thermal detonators and blaster rifles. And at one point you get those like flat, green holo maps that like Leia would always be standing at or Admiral Akbar would be standing at.
Yeah. So, I like that. I saw pictures of those.
Yeah. That was pretty neat. I got a picture of Morty with that, but, like I said, nothing really interactive other than the Play Disney Parks app. So now, okay. We get to the point where, like, so all the cast members in the line are just like, hey, recruits, you ready for your mission? And I'm like, huh. It almost felt like Transformers, where they keep calling everybody recruits and talking about a mission. And I'm like, I know nothing about this. I actually really like this, like, that I don't know what's going on. And we get into the briefing room. And we see an animatronic BB-8, who is amazing. Like, it's a really good animatronic. It's scooting around and beeping and toodling and doing all its BB-8 stuff. It did that for a while, like to the point where I wondered if something was wrong. But then finally we heard...
Are you expected to understand the BB lingo?
No, you're not expected.
Is he giving you crucial information?
Maybe he was. Like, maybe that was the safety spiel. But... So he's doing his BB-8 stuff, and then all of a sudden you hear incoming transmission from Rey. And this hologram of Rey appears, and like it looked like it was a real hologram of Rey, like because like you don't realize there's a screen there,
right?
And it like the hologram was so realistic, like I was just like, wow, this is really what it must be like to talk through like a Star Wars hologram. It was unbelievable. So that happens, and she basically tells you like we're moving you from our base on Batuu to our base on Praka, I think it was.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that's where they're going to be in Rise of Skywalker. And if it is, that's pretty cool. But then she introduces Lieutenant Beck, who's a Mon Calamari, who I maintain was supposed to be Admiral Akbar until Rian Johnson killed him for no reason.
I don't think so.
No? Your shuttle pilots are Lieutenant Beck and Nine Nub.
Yeah, but given his role in this, that's not really an admiral position.
Maybe. But, well, so they're going to be, like flying you on the shuttle. Then the doors open. Right. The doors open, and you're outside again. You're outside, and there's the shuttle sitting on the ground.
Okay.
And parked right next to it is Poe Dameron's X-Wing, his black and orange X-Wing fighter.
Yep.
With BB-8 in the like in the astromech position, like looking around and doing his BB-8 stuff. You could see Poe's silhouette, like of his like helmet and everything in the cockpit, like moving around.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So now they're like, go, 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 go. Like it's, you know, clearly like it's an evacuation kind of thing. And you know, the cast members load you into this this shuttle, and you have an animatronic Lieutenant Beck and Nine Nub at the cockpit of the shuttle. So I stood right up front. Like, there's two different sides you can go to. And so you're standing there, and then now, like, a mini Star Tours happens. where, like, the shuttle takes off and you can feel it move. But you're standing. You're not sitting with, like, a seatbelt fastened.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Okay, so you're standing.
Yeah, so, but you feel it move, but it's not, like, violently moving like Star Tours. So, right, right. You know, Poe and, like, the other X-Wing pilots are coming into you via, like computer screen and stuff like that, and you fly off of Batu, and that's when the TIE fighters hit. The TIE fighters start, you know, like, all the lights there turn red, the shields go up, you see this dogfight going on outside, you're getting hit with stuff, and then the Star Destroyers show up to surround you. You get caught in the tractor beam, you're pulled aboard the Star Destroyer, they're like, listen, like, whatever we do, we can't let them know the location of the base, and, like, you know, the General Hux appears on the screen being like, prepare to be boarded by order of the First Order, or, you know, whatever he says. And then all of a sudden, you know, like, instead of, like, please stand clear of the doors for, like, when the doors are gonna, the automatic doors are opening,
right.
Lieutenant Beck turns around and he's just like, get back from those doors! Like, because they were coming, the First Order was coming through. So the doors...
Now, let me ask you a question real fast. The dogfight you're seeing and all of that stuff, is it just one cockpit window, like, in the front? Like, one
windshield? There's two. There's one in the front, one in the back.
Okay. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, no matter where you are, and, like, you're surrounded by Star Destroyers, so there's a Star Destroyer in the front and one in the back.
Yeah.
The doors open, Pete, and you are in the hangar of a Star Destroyer.
Very
I mean,
cool.
like rows of stormtroopers, like, five or six deep. Like, and all the cast members are now Imperial First Order officers. And boy, oh boy, do they play these characters. They must have been having so much fun. They were like, Resistance spies, you are now prisoners of the First Order. And, like, you're marched out. And, Pete, you could hear a pin drop as they marched us through this, like, this hangar where there's a full-size TIE fighter on the wall. Okay?
Right.
And, like, clearly the stormtroopers are fake, but they look so ominous. And, like, you're marched through the halls like prisoners. Like, through the halls of the attraction, and the First Order guards are, like, so in character, their costumes are perfect, like, it is so immersive, like, people were just quiet, like, I know in future ride-throughs, I'm gonna be messing with the First Order officers, but nobody was doing that, they were all, like, everybody was, like, wide-eyed, and, like, so then the First Order, like, they separate you for interrogation. And they separate you into, like, colored groups. So we were blue group, which Morty was very excited about because he's blue. The First Order officers did not share his enthusiasm. and then after that, they're like, you know, you will now be taken for interrogation. We have ways of making you talk. But now, like, I'm wondering what's going to happen if I was just like, Prakia. They're on Prakia. Like, the base is, that's where the base is. The base on Batu is down there. When you enter Black Spire Outpost, it's directly there on your left. If you've hit Ronto Roasters, you've gone too far. Like, what's going to happen? Am I going to, like, bypass the line and be made a First Order officer? Like, I would say, like, on a third or fourth ride through, I kind of have to try doing that. Because they keep making it a point to be like, oh, don't tell them where the base is. And I'm like, well, what happens if I do?
It'd be great if you just get kicked off the ride. It's like, oh, okay, you can come this way then.
Right.
And there's just an exit. You're, like, back in the park.
Yeah, Kylo Ren shakes your hand, and then you're back in the park.
Right.
But so you're marched into the cell, and then Hux and Kylo Ren appear on, like, a catwalk above the cell. And they're, like, you know, basically, like, we're going to interrogate you about the base, and then Hux is like, Supreme Leader, you're needed on the bridge. And, you know, Kylo and Hux kind of leave. And then
now,
all
is this
the
screen or
there's
or
definitely a, yeah, it's definitely a screen up there. It's not an animatronic
okay.
yet. Then part of the wall, you start to see, like, a red outline, like, burning its way through the wall into the shape of a door. And, like,
okay.
And, like, the door is, like, so the piece of the wall is then, like, forcibly pulled back and slid to the side, and another cast member in a Resistance uniform comes running in, and they're like, I'm with the Resistance, we're getting you out of here, we gotta go, and so, like, you're funneled out of there, and then you get into the actual, now, all of this was pre-show.
Right.
Like, I don't know, like, I don't even know if I can call it the pre-show. Like, does the pre-show end with, like, the Rey hologram, or was this all pre-show? Like, right. when does the pre-show end and the ride begin? But so now's the point where you enter the actual ride vehicle. And, like, you know, they're like, but of course they have to still do the safety spiel while keeping, like in character. So they're like, everybody get in quickly. You know, this is going to be hard. This is going to be rough. So, you know, fasten your seatbelts from left to right. and pull on that yellow strap for me.
You know what's funny? Like, I hope, and I love cast members so much because they really do make it such a great, yes, you know, time. But I mean, what happens if you get a subpar resistance like officer rescuing you?
Oh,
like,
God,
that door opens, like, hey, and they're just like, hey, I'm the resistance.
I would assume that, like, you know, like you would get like a bad like Muggsy or something like that on Great Movie Ride. I would assume they're putting a lot more.
Once in a while.
Yeah, I would assume they're putting a lot more like work into this.
Right.
Cuz like these people, these were definite theater kids. Like these people were actors, I could tell. And so we get in, you know, we're seatbelted in, and then, you know, Lieutenant Beck's like, "I'll be guiding you from here, you know, the there's like a little droid R5 in your in the front of your vehicle." And he's just like, "Oh, I'll be giving R5 instructions, but just, you know, like, make sure to keep your hands, arms, feet, legs inside at all times and be sure to watch your children." It's just so funny to me how they have to, like, get the, like, it's like this immersive experience, but they still have to give you that safety spiel. But it's not like,
awesome.
Yeah, but it's not like Universal where, like, and this, I hate this at Universal where they're like, like, you know, they give you, like, this, like, big, huge, like, try to be immersive, like, with Transformers, and then there's a voice that's like, "This ride is a motion simulator with sudden stops and blah, blah, blah," and I'm like, don't do that. Don't tell me it's a ride. Right. Stop it. But, so, now we're in, and, you know, clearly we're on a track, but you don't see a track. You're just in a Star Destroyer.
Okay.
And so, it feels like you're moving. It feels like you're in a free moving vehicle.
Is there a track? I thought it was like free moving.
Maybe it is free moving. I don't know, but like I assumed it was on a track.
I don't think there's a track.
Okay, so you go through and you see like other vehicles with other droids. The stormtroopers all of a sudden spot you on your way to the turbo lifts. They start firing at you. Things are exploding all over the place around you. Blaster bolts are flying over your head. Eventually, it takes you onto the bridge of the Star Destroyer, and you see an animatronic Kylo Ren and General Hux.
Okay.
Now, these are really good animatronics. They're, like, looking out the viewport, and Kylo Ren's like, you know, the Resistance is going to try to save the prisoners, so, you know, raise the shields. And Hux is like, "What? The shields? There's no reason for that." And he's just like, "Do it now!" And then you see the whole, like, Resistance fleet, like, light speed in. And start firing, and, you know, now all of a sudden you're in a space battle. Kylo Ren turns around, sees that you're there, and then he gives chase. You see him, you know, light up his lightsaber on a screen and, like,
how does that look?
This one was on a screen, and it looked fine.
Okay.
You get in the turbo lift, like, you think you're safe from him. The turbo lift starts going down. All of a sudden, he lands on top of the turbo lift, which you don't see it, you hear it. And his lightsaber starts cutting through the ceiling of the turbo lift.
That's very exciting.
Which apparently, I guess that was part of the ABC like preview of the attraction. So a lot of people knew that was going to happen, but I didn't.
Seeing.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. I didn't watch. I went in completely like blind. So eventually, you get out of the turbo lift. You go into you also go into a room, with full-size AT-AT walkers. Like, it's
okay.
It's a hangar with full-size AT-ATs, and, like, people are firing at you through it, and, like, you're... A lot of this that I'm saying is, like, out of order, but... Because I'm just, like, remembering things. I've only ridden it once. The AT-ATs are unbelievable-looking. Like, they're just truly massive. Like, even big... Like... There's something different about this AT-AT than the one outside of Star Tours. Like, I don't know. So now, like, the Resistance fighters that are in the... Finn and the other Resistance fighters are having, like, firefights in the hallways with Stormtroopers as well. you go into like this one hangar where, like, remember in Revenge of the Sith when the guy was like, "Oh, batteries fire, fire," and they were like those big cannons that were like going back, and like you go into a room like that with those cannons firing, and so you have to like go like between the cannons and you know, you could see out the airlock where like they're firing turbo lasers at the Resistance ships, and the Resistance ships are firing back at you. Eventually, you get into another room where Kylo Ren, there's a Kylo Ren animatronic, and it's an amazing one of the best animatronics I've ever seen. And it like grabs hold of your car with the Force and like pulls you toward him, and the resistance blows a hole in the hull, which he lets go, and you feel the air like violently like shift toward the hole in the hull. Like, your hair's blowing.
Could you still breathe?
Yeah. You can still breathe because the clamps come down. But it's enough of a distraction where you get away from Kylo Ren. Then you make it into into the escape pod, finally. And I'm looking outside, and I see the escape pods, like, because you could see them from, like, the other Star Destroyer. And they, like, drop out. And I'm like, oh, wait. Is that about to happen? And the second I thought, is that about to happen, we Tower of Terror style dropped out of the Star Destroyer. But you know, it's not 13 stories like Tower of Terror.
Right.
Like, we dropped out. What did you say?
Does it feel like you're being pushed down, or you dropped out?
No, it feels like you're in an escape pod where it literally just let go, and you just drop out.
Like
you free fall out, and then like the thrusters come on, and it becomes a ship, and
so cool.
Now we're back into another mini Star Tours, where like you're like maneuvering around the Star Destroyers and the TIE Fighters and the X-Wings, and making your way back down onto Batu, and then like you land on Batu, and you get out of the escape pod, and your vehicle like, you know, is like driving through all slowly now, and then you see Lieutenant Beck in his escape pod, like, congratulating you.
Right, he made it. Good.
Yeah, and then you're done.
Okay.
That's the 15-minute experience that is Rise of the Resistance. 15, 20 minutes, probably.
It sounds great.
People were like, well, what's it like? And this is, like, my text to you the second I got off of it was, it makes Flight of Passage look like Dumbo.
Right.
And I truly stand by those words. I liked it so, like, and I, you know me, I love Flight of Passage.
Right. I can't wait to do this.
Yeah, dude, you're gonna absolutely love it. Like, it, there's nothing in the world like it. People were like, so what's it like? And, like, with Flight of Passage, I was able to be like, well, it's like Soarin' if you weaponized it. Like, but with this. I'm like, it's part Star Tours, it's part Transformers, Spider-Man, like, it also kind of feels at certain points like the Penguin ride at SeaWorld, where it was like there's just this one part where, like, the very first part where the vehicles are moving through, for some reason it reminded me of the Penguin ride at SeaWorld, but I'm sure they weren't trying to copy that. But it's also like, you're in the story. Like, I've never seen anything like this where you're just in the story like that.
It sounds awesome.
Like, listen, you're in the story in every Disney ride. Like, there's a story of every Disney ride. But, like, some of it, like, you know, Splash and, like, you're an observer. You're in this. You're marched as a prisoner onto a Star Destroyer. You're put into a cell. You're interacting with live human actors. You're rescued. You get into an escape pod. Like, there's nothing like this, Pete. Nothing.
This is what we hope for, right?
It completes Galaxy's Edge. Like, this is the immersive experience that this immersive land was meant to have. And now I see the original vision of Galaxy's Edge, and I like it even more than I liked it before. And I'm so glad we got this before Disneyland.
You know, I was, you know, but people were really coming down on Galaxy's Edge. I kind of thought, like, hey, you got to kind of hold out and see with this ride also.
100%.
And I also, I don't know anyone that's actually been to Galaxy's Edge and told me they didn't like it. I mean, I've heard, I've read all sorts of stuff, people, but I mean, me personally, I know a lot of people who've gone. I don't know anyone that went and, like, didn't like it.
Right. You know, there's a lot of people that I've seen that are just, like, when I've been, like, raving about it, we're like, well, really? Because, you know, I saw the ride through and it didn't, and I wasn't impressed. And I'm like, you must have seen a bad ride through because how could you not be impressed by this? Like, when you walk onto that Star Destroyer deck, like, it's, you can't call it a ride even. It's an attraction. Like, it's an experience. It's an attraction experience, I would say. Like, I'm like addicted to it now.
I can't wait to be like zooming around by those AT-ATs, and I think it's and you get lifted up. You get lifted up by the AT-ATs also, right? Like that's how they actually pull off the drop sequence.
Yes, I mean you get onto a
like a lift.
You get onto a lift and it's supposed to go down, but it goes up, and so now you're like on an upper level, and that's when you have to like.
And you can see things like in the AT-AT.
Yes, you can see like the stormtroopers inside the AT-AT.
Right.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. By the way, I feel vindicated by saying AT-AT because in Jedi Fallen Order, they say AT-AT.
Yeah.
I've always been like, you know, in the Star Wars world, they'll always say AT-AT. Like, no, it's an AT-AT.
No, AT-AT. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the AT-AT room is just one of the coolest things you could ever possibly see. Like, I recorded a Morty Monster video for it, him reacting to everything. So it's actually dropping today. They're edited already. I just have to post them. It's a 3-parter. So we have episode 1, episode 2, and episode 3 of the Morty Monster Rise of the Resistance opening day trilogy. So
okay.
Everything we've discussed here is in the video as well. So it's kind of a companion piece to this episode of Two Men and the Mouse. And, he doesn't actually ride the ride until the third one. The first one is Star Tours. The first one is solo Star Tours. The second one is like the Cantina and around Galaxy's Edge. And then the third one is actually Rise of the Resistance. And we may post like a ride through as well. I'm not sure yet. But so look for those today as well. If they're not up by the time you listen to this, give it a little bit and they'll be up. Once I post the episode, I'm going to start posting those right away. So, any questions that you have about
the early delay that they had pushed back the boarding group so that the later people with boarding groups couldn't get on? Did you hear that?
Well, yeah. And you know what, that when, like, it says, it definitely pushed everyone back at least an hour and a half. But I hadn't heard about it, but I kind of assumed it was going to happen because when you log in, like, it says, listen, capacity is limited and having a boarding group does not guarantee that you will get on this ride. It's not like a fast pass where you're guaranteed entry.
Apparently they gave people a paper fast pass for another day and a 1-day park hopper.
Wow.
Which is very not typically what Disney does, but
yeah.
I have a feeling a lot of those boarding groups at the end didn't make it.
You know, we were talking about, and by the way, the boarding groups were full by 9 a.m.
Right.
Full for the entire
day. So think about it, you went there at 9 a.m. You stayed until, you know, 9 p.m. only to find out, like, your boarding group? Yeah, not going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Cause and then, like, with the boarding groups, I don't know if you can leave the park. Like, I don't know if you leave the park
connect. You couldn't even connect till you were 3/4 of the way down. What if you just went by the front gates? Are you, like, out of the park?
No, I'm sure you're not. Like, and that's why I think that, like, you probably can leave the park, but I wouldn't, like, I'd have to ask a cast member. I wouldn't be able to tell. It's not a question that I really thought of until I left. So,
what if you bought something and want to bring it to your car?
Yeah, like, I'm hoping, or you forgot something or need a phone charger, I'm sure you can leave the park. I'm sure it's not like a GPS thing, but I would assume if you, like, check into Epcot, it might take you out.
Yeah.
Which means that you could probably go back to your room. I don't
right.
know. This is all probablys and conjecture and whatever. Like, I'm not standing by these words. the now when you if you are evac'd off of this, do you think it's like does everything just stop and you're just like taken off through like a cast member hallway, or do you think they have some kind of like immersive evac thing, like where they're like, hey, everybody off, get off, we can escape through here, or something like that.
Like they've planned for this to be delayed at times.
Yeah, like planned for it to be delayed and like planned for how to like evac you without completely breaking the illusion. I don't know.
Right.
The answer That's to that question funny. Is I don't know. Any questions about this that I didn't hit?
No, I thought you did a pretty good job. I know you do. You don't care at all about merchandise. I saw that they have a toy of the ride vehicle.
They do
with
yeah.
the droid in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have to have that. I was almost a little bummed out to see that the ride vehicle, the droid in the front of the toy, they have three different versions. I believe a blue, a red, and a white one.
The one in the ride is black.
He is black, but he has a stripe on him.
Oh, okay.
So they've done three different kinds of, like, stripes on him.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I also found it odd that, like, it looked like the ride vehicle toy only holds six, but the actual ride vehicle, from what I saw, was four.
Yeah, the configuration's different too. It's side by side, and the one in the toy is like back to front. So I guess they just went with a inspired vehicle.
Yeah, seriously. So yeah, Rise of the Resistance, folks. I mean, it is a game changer. If you're taking a Disney trip soon, you got to plan your day around this. And so now I'm interested to see if the virtual queue is sticking around. I hope it will, because I don't want to see this with 3 hour waits like you've got for Flight of Passage. Like if I can get there and get on the virtual queue, like Universal uses virtual queue for things, so it kind of makes sense to me that that would happen. All right, so you ready to head out for this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, folks, that's gonna do for 2 Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And folks, please, if you love our good friend Peter Mandel, check him out over at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or take a trip over to roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. And of course, folks, our friend Dave Weichert of Magical Travel will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. You can always find him on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email DisneyDaveW@Verizon.net. If you're renting a crib or stroller on your next Disney vacation, check out our buddies over at KingdomStrollers.com, who will deliver a crib or stroller right to your Disney resort. They'll give it right to you. And folks, for me, please check out my books, the Rocinante series, Winters of Elnora, Birth of the Dark Angel. They're all available. Also, check out UWAElite.com Pro Wrestling, where you can see me in action. And as well, please also check out the Morning Monster YouTube channel. He's on Facebook as Facebook.com/MortyMonster, Instagram at Morty Monster and Friends, and Twitter at Morty Monster BFF. And of course, you know, he's on YouTube as well. The link to the YouTube is on those pages. Folks, thank you again for joining us this and every week. Please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on 2 Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.